Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later. Rusty Quill presents Enthusiasm. Hello, one and all. Today, we're declassifying some of the extended bits from our Patreon episodes, so you can enjoy some of the chats that are missing from the public versions. If you like what you hear and you want more, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill. Hopefully, we'll see you there. I do want to mention that it looks like you're wearing...
I am wearing a very fancy hat indoors, yes.
Not just that, but it looks like octagonal glasses?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. These are my regular frames. I switch between about four or so, depending on whether... both comfort and what else I'm wearing, I guess. glasses are one of the few physical disabilities that we've also turned into a fashion statement. So I'm going to, take as best use of that as possible. But yeah. My octagonal golden frames are my favourite pair.
They're very good. I mean, we were talking... I think all of us wear glasses on this call. Sasha, would you like to... mention your fun glasses fact about you?
I don't know if it's a fun, it's a bit embarrassing because I think it's too frivolous, but I actually have 12 different frames, all with the same prescription.
For sure.
But in my defense, I got them very cheap.
I think it's wonderful. I wish I had 12 different pairs of glasses.
No, that's rad. I mean, you know, being able to have... Are they, all super different styles? Or do they, fall into camps?
There's a range. I would say they're not all 12 completely different ones, but there's a spectrum.
I guess I only ask because in my pair of four that I rotate between, they actually kind of fall into two very similar camps of two being blue and two being gold. And I was like, why did I, when I went to go and buy new glasses, go and kind of pick ones weirdly similar to my existing pair? And then that is both a measure of I already know what I like, but also yes. I already know what doesn't suit my face. Because right. I think I went in when I bought the new pairs being like, ooh, I want to go and get some proper Dame Edna looking... red wing, and they look awful.
Yeah,
horrendous.
I tried so hard to make big, ostentatious cat eyes work for me, and they just don't.
Oh, I've been thinking I want to get a pair of those perfectly round glasses.
Yes,
that's one of my other pairs for sure.
Yeah, because I bought some perfectly round sunglasses for a cosplay, and I put them on, and I thought these actually look good. It's just a shame they're not, that I can't see. Marissa, Annie, any interesting glasses you have?
I mean, as I was saying before we were recording, I only actually own one pair of glasses, and they were the first prescription pair I ever got, which I actually do want more glasses. I've had this same pair for 4 years and never replaced them or changed styles or anything, and I would like to play around with that a little more. I did also remember, though, I was thinking, why haven't I gotten any new ones or, like, updated my prescription at all or anything? And I realized it's because my healthcare provider is...
Ah.
I went into an optometrist at my different healthcare provider, and they were like, you don't need glasses. You just need reading glasses. And it's like, that's not... I work outdoors.
Is that not glasses?
Huh?
Am I misunderstanding something here?
Yeah, exactly. But they were like, you don't need prescription ones. You can get these over the counter. We're not going to write you prescription. Right. It's like, no, I need these ones because I need to be able to have the transition lenses because I work outdoors and still need to read things when I am on heavy equipment 60 feet in the air.
Yeah.
So that's part of my day job. And so I haven't been able to get new glasses because they won't give me the prescription. But I do really like, I have a nice pair of Ray-Bans that have lasted me forever. So I stick with those for now, but I really want to branch out at some point if I can.
What about you, Marissa?
Yeah, so I only have this one pair, but my thing about getting fashion glasses is I'm so fickle with my choices. Like, it takes me forever to choose a pair, so I feel like it would be better for me to wear contacts and then get, like, fashion glasses that don't have a prescription in them, because it would be cheaper and easier to swap them out. Because I know once I take that leap of like, oh, this is an accessory that I can change, I don't want to blow all my money on it.
Yeah, I've only got two pairs of glasses. I've got the ones I'm wearing now, which are just like a oblong purpley pink, and then I've got this amazing, like, quite large square kind of glasses with like a little bit of a cat eye, but not quite. And they can convert into sunglasses.
Ooh.
And they are mirrored sunglasses. And you just have to like clip the extra lens on.
I love a mirrored sunglass.
God, me too. Mm. Me too. I just realized maybe I should have brought them here. But never mind.
I'll just have to take a picture later. A Skype call that is also a fashion show.
Yes.
I didn't prepare an alternate outfit, but give me 10 minutes and I can do that.
A Skype call that is also a fashion show that is also an audio medium.
Yeah. Yes,
so
exactly.
Only we will see our excellent fashion choices. And Beth, what about you? Do you have a preferred genre to listen to?
No, not at all. Really, really anything. Yeah, no, that's a really boring answer. That's all I have for you.
No, I'm really pleased. It's really cool. I ask these questions because I don't know what the answer will be.
Also, that probably makes the most sense for a vocal coach.
Yeah, it'd be weird if I was like, I just learned to sing this. No, I don't really like that, so go away.
Yeah. And my pupils are from so many, like, apart from anything like classical or opera, it's always contemporary styles, but my students, you know, I have like... people who sing metal, people who sing musical theatre, people who sing Beyoncé. You know, it's a whole spectrum of different genres.
Can you talk to me about people who sing metal?
Mm. Oh, like in what way?
Like, how? How do they
It depends on which type of scream they're doing. Do you want to hear? I can do some.
Please, yes.
Yes!
Okay, well, I might need to be a bit further away. Oh, okay. No. Okay. And I probably can't do it now because I'm nervous.
It's been, oh, no. I'm going to get
all look away.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll look in the opposite direction.
Ooh. Wow.
And that's a maintainable noise.
Yeah, so that's a false chord scream. It's you have a kind of protective set of vocal folds. They're not really vocal folds, but they come across and they protect you when you're like coughing, or you can bring them across. It also happens in Tibetan throat singing. Anything that gets in the way of the even vibrations from the vocal cords and disrupts those even vibrations is heard as distortion. So in this case, it's the false vocal folds. Sometimes they used to say it couldn't happen at the vocal folds themselves without damaging them, but the current thought is that it's kind of a new science, so a lot of people argue about this, but the new current thought is that it can be with vocal fry screams. But there's lots of different things that people do. That's definitely not my expertise, but it is an area that I work in a little bit.
So how do you, is it one of those things where you just go for it, or you just try?
Kind of, like, you have to you're probably at first, you have to do it in short amounts at first. Otherwise, you could give yourself some damage. You have to be really, really aware of your voice and you have to be super relaxed and not hold too much tension and things like that. But, yeah.
Beth?
Yeah.
I want to have a go.
No.
So you've got to kind of open the vocal folds so that the false vocal folds can
So, play. Yes, you're not going to have any voice in it at all for... So you're going to be like, if you make like a grumpy teenager, like, I'm so annoyed. Yeah. Try that. Yeah, exactly. Is that okay? And then you want to just make sure that you have good breath support and just give it a little bit extra pressure. So it's probably a little bit more than you would with actual singing.
Can we go around the table and everyone have a go? Right.
I'm pretty sure I would have a go.
If you kind of grind to your mouth as well. Different vowel shapes, so I find the easiest being like an sort of shape. But if you go for a wide, like, and add a little bit higher.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah! Yeah, that's great. They're always particularly good.
Best podcast ever.
Oh, hang on,
that's amazing!
Oh my god, oh my god, who wants to go next?
Everyone's like,
this is terrifying to me.
Oh, that's okay, you don't have to go. Tim, I want you to go, though.
Okay.
So there's a little bit too much voice in there. So you were, like, closing your vocal folds, so you got, like, a sung note. Yeah. It's really hard when you sing, as a singer, a lot of singers can't not do the note.
Yeah.
It took me a long time because I was like, at first.
Oh god.
No, I can't not put a note in it.
You sounded like a zombie from Minecraft.
What was the sound you said to start with?
Like a grumpy teenager. Like. Yeah. Like,
oh, I okay.
Is see that gruffness that you get?
Do I want to save you for last? I'll try it.
I don't want to put any pressure on you at all, Gabriel. It's okay. I can go and you can choose.
I can't.
But to be fair, that was kind of wicked. It wasn't like you did have a lot of voice in there, but actually, people can learn to put the voice kind of in, and it didn't sound unhealthy. So actually, you've kind of skipped a step.
You've gone straight to advanced screeching.
Amazing.
I'm a punk singer, not a metal singer.
Oh god, I haven't listened to any metal. I don't.
There it is.
There we go. We should start a metal band.
The only thing I can hear is from that stupid vine where like someone knocks over a bin and goes, "Disrespect your surroundings."
I've not heard that one.
It's very good. Okay. I think this is the best thing that we've ever done on this podcast. I'm so happy. I think we should have like it's another 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. All together. Ready?
Yep.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
That sounds like it was like really important to you, and I really don't want to detract from that in any way when I ask you about the trans headcanons for Jesse and James in Pokemon.
Oh my god, yeah.
Because they do a swimsuit episode one time.
Yeah.
And James has a full-on pair of tits.
So there's two episodes that never made it to a UK airing.
Yeah.
One is the Porygon episode. Porygon is the digital Pokemon in the original 150. There was a quite high ratio of children having seizures as a result of the animation effects. So it got pulled and was banned in the UK. I think it was re-released in Japan with modified effects, so it was fine. But it was an unfortunate and not intended consequence, obviously. And then the other one is, yeah, the swimsuit episode. I believe the episode aired in the UK, but they cut chunks of it out. So it didn't really make sense, but they were just like, no, none of that.
Mm. There's loads of really good fan theories, but also, like, the illustrator for Pokemon, she has drawn, like, because Jesse and James, all the time, they are always cross-dressing, or cross-dressing in scare quotes. Like, Jesse is always wearing, like, trousers and, like, the princely stuff, and James is always wearing the princess outfits.
Yeah.
And the illustrator was basically like, it's more interesting this way. Like, she originally drew them, like, in the genders that they should be or are or whatever, or in that kind of clothing. But she kind of, like, just reversed it one time and was like, no, this makes more sense. Yeah. And I was like, there is so much of that in anime as well, of, like, I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff with trans stuff. I'm not saying it's ideal at all.
But sure,
there are a lot of, like, very good character tropes who, if you can just wear trousers and it's really cool and they are very confident and cool people.
I'm really glad that is indeed that wasn't me just saying something that you'd never heard of before.
No, totally.
I'm really glad, and I'm glad that's a thing.
When I first saw them, admittedly, I thought they were brother and sister for years and years and years because they had a chemistry I didn't recognize. And then later on, I became aware of all this. It's like, honestly, it makes way more sense when you read it that way, like just categorically.
Yeah, like they both have pretty, like, you know, trans-aligned backstories as well. Like,
it clicks in really cleanly.
Yeah,
but then again, I am an advocate of the Pokemon is an extreme post-war wasteland. Have you heard this theory, Helen?
I have not, but I know that Pokemon is really, really dark.
So there's a very, very elaborate fan theory. I can't believe it. I'm actually engaging in fan theory.
Oh my gosh.
So there's an elaborate fan theory. Martin, our CTO, put me onto this. And I was like, oh no, it works. Take a moment. Think of every Pokemon TV show that you've ever seen or Pokemon game you've ever played. There are no military age adults that aren't either basically the police or the nurses that aren't criminals. The theory goes that there has been a massive draft in the Pokemon world, and basically everyone of military age is dead. And this is a society that's picking itself back up after that, which is why there's only, like, old man is a character that you can meet, or young girl, but there's nothing in between that isn't dubious or someone who would be exempt. So there was this whole big elaborate theory of there's been a big war, and then why are the Pokemon? Okay, cool. And this is why they're using Pokemon to determine arbitrary, like, the new mayor has been selected via a Pokemon battle. That makes no sense. It's because they're all so terrified of conflict because there's been a massive war, and there's this elaborate castle in the sky. But I totally got on board with that train.
I'm going to send a picture in the Skype chat. For the
See, that is someone who has seen a lot.
Yeah, for the listeners, this is a screen cap of a Pokemon game where the protagonist is talking to an old man with white hair and a stick bent over, and the old man is saying, I'm 30 years old. And you just made me think of that immediately.
Yeah. And there's whole other side categories of this, like, theory where it's like Pokemon are weapons of war that are, there is now no war for them, but they hang around, which is why they're all good at, like, exploding stuff. And there's the whole, like, sense. Mewtwo and genetics and da da da. And yeah, they were weapons of war, a war that's now over, and this is a world that's picking itself back up.
And there's so many bizarre, like, backstories for the Pokemon themselves, especially the ghost types. There's so many of them that just, like, steal children.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that.
You mean as opposed to a Cubone, which can... Do you know the Cubone one?
That's the one where it wears the skull of its mum, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's just weird.
Lots of weird shit in Pokemon, but that makes it interesting.
I mean, I suppose, yeah, technically, if we're including Pokemon and say Digimon and that kind of ilk into anime, I think those were definitely one. Although I never connected, I know this sounds stupid as a kid, I never connected DBZ and Pokemon as being part of the same like zeitgeist and same school. I was like, one person made a weird shouty blasty flying thing over here, and someone made tiny little pocket monsters over here, but I never connected it. And then again much later was like, oh well, yeah, obviously.
Well, they're very different shows.
I did have a soft spot for initial Pokemon as a kid, like original 150.
Yeah, me too.
It was always fun for me because I very much got into Digimon before Pokemon, and nobody that I knew had ever watched Digimon, and they kept being like, no, you're talking about Pokemon, you're talking about Pokemon. I'm like, no, it's Digimon.
Digimon had arguably, okay, less catchy, better music. Like, yeah, right? Like, it's got teeth. Pokemon's like, oh yeah, we're all gonna be now dun dun.
And now my wolf has cannons on its shoulders, and it's got claws, and it's like...
Oh no, I upgraded my Digimon too much and it's become a literal angel, and I'm not sure about what the ramifications of this are, but here we are. Okay. It's an angel with a cannon for a face. I'm on board. I don't understand, but you have told me you are a literal angel. A literal angel. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed those extra Patreon sections as much as we did. Take care, and see you next week for another break episode. Enthusiasm is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. It is directed by Helen Gould, produced by Laurie Ann Davis, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. This episode of Enthusiasm was edited by Laurie Ann Davis, Maddie Searle, Marissa Ewing, Tessa Vroom, and Kathy Ranella. Thanks for listening. Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.